Stephen, I mean, behind the curtain, we've just had dinner. I don't think eating before a show is a stroke of genius, let's be honest.
We should have waited.
I mean,
we should have did this show, then had dinner.
Because it's not dinner time yet. We're basically idiots.
Yeah.
No, oh but it God. Wasn't. It was like, I guess it was 10 it was, to 6, 10 to 7.
Seven. What, are what you, time do you normally
what are you, 12?
What do you normally eat?
Like 7:30.
7:30.
Maybe 6:30. But that's what I'm saying. I know you normally eat later.
Yeah.
So but why didn't we?
I was hungry. I didn't have a big lunch. I had a pretty small lunch. We just went hard, eh? If we fall asleep halfway through the show, you'll know why.
Yeah, and if you hear groaning noises, it's me leaning forward over my big fat gut.
Yeah.
It is what it is, though.
We did what we ordered, though. We could probably one. We got two. We could have shared one and still had food left
over. Every single time we order that,
yeah,
we hint at that. Next time we have to
talk about what it is, or
Taste of Texas Barbecue.
Barbecue, yeah. So we can. I reckon one of those brisket boxes we could share.
I think it's meant to be shared.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure when we're in the store,
they probably look at these.
They laugh at us and think,
"Look at these idiots.
Are your wives coming? Like, what's happening?
Oh God!
Like, why are you eating those together? You idiots!
You sort of and you feel some kind of obligation. You sort of you can't. Only eat half. You got to have a crack.
Yeah, I don't want to leave food to waste.
Is that a psychological thing where you can't leave food behind?
I mean,
next time it'll be we'll just go half.
We'll split it.
Half
skis. All right, okay, that's fine.
That's the smart thing.
It feels better when you put your head back as well. Just so you know,
don't fall asleep over there.
I'm no risk of falling asleep.
Yeah,
I'm just at risk of being uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like I found myself in a spot now. The gut's just sitting perfectly.
Have you undone your belt? Or?
That's a good idea. I feel uncomfortable doing that in front of you, so just so you know.
Yeah, I'd be uncomfortable you
I took
that
my
as
belt
well.
Off on the plane in business class
what?
Once and went, felt really uncomfortable.
Why would you take your belt off?
Just to feel more comfortable.
Yeah, right.
You know?
You don't put the pajamas on?
Sometimes I do.
Do you do that before takeoff or after takeoff?
I normally do it before.
Really?
Yeah.
What happens
in business class, yeah.
And you take your shoes and all that off too?
Yeah.
What happens if you've got to have an emergency landing after you take off? You're running around barefooted in pajamas.
Okay. Mate, so, I'm alive.
Yeah. So I normally just keep my shoes on, keep everything on until we get our airborne and then we're good. And then I change.
Right. So you're happy to be killed in pajamas, but not on the on the tarmac.
Well, normally, didn't they say any emergency, 90% of emergencies happen before, you know, around takeoff or landing?
I'd never given it any thought, to be honest.
So you got to keep the shoes on in case, you know, you don't want to be stepping over broken glass and debris in barefoot. If you're on the plane.
I only ever, you know what I do? My shoes are always at my feet somewhere. And I reckon I'd be able to.
You reckon you'd be able to just slip them back on again? Yeah. With their
evacuate. Pretty much everyone I've seen in videos evacuating a plane, idiots are grabbing their bags and stuff. They've got time to grab their bags.
No, you're not grabbing
your bag. I'm grabbing my feet.
If there's a bloke grabbing your bag in front of you in emergency, you smash their face. So get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Go. Yeah.
But that happened in, where was it? In America last week when that. Silver chrome jet, whatever company that was, the wheels didn't come down.
Yeah.
And
so they did a belly landing.
People got their bloody bags.
Great.
I'm like, what are you doing, mate? Also, are you meant to have your shoes on when you go down the slide?
No.
So what are you worried about?
No, but I mean, I don't think you can, can you have them on? I think you can't wear high heels and stuff. You've got to take them on.
You can have your sneakers on.
I don't know, I've never been in an emergency.
Have you ever watched the video?
Yeah.
Do they tell you that? I don't know if they tell you to take your shoes off or not.
I think that's something they tell you. It's kind of a thing you'd learn at the time. You don't need
have
to have
that. Have you seen people in the security line at LAX when they say take your shoes off? People take forever.
Yeah.
By the way, leaving Las Vegas airport, which is not an airport I frequent because I normally drive out, 2 weeks ago with Stig, no one at the security line. Fantastic. Brilliant. So we go up to TSA. Okay, mate. Australian, eh? Mel Gibson. He said, Russell Crowe. I said, we stole him, but that's okay. And he's just gone, yeah, go. Keeps me back my boarding pass. And I think then says to Stig, you know, Danny Minogue. And we've gone, Danny Minogue? All right, and I've said to Stig.
So he's an American person.
Yeah, American bloke. I've said to Stig, if this bloke's mentioned John Farnham, I'm going to lose my mind. And then he goes, you're the voice. And I went, what? And by this time, we're over. At security, taking our stuff out of our bags. He's still back there, but there's no one else around. So he's just yelling out
names. He's riffing with you.
He's riffing. And I've gone, mate, what is your name? He's gone, Rich. I've gone, good on you, Rich. Jeez. You bloody legend.
You're the voice.
Kept
baby.
Ripping it. Jimmy Barnes, he goes. Jimmy
wow,
Barnes.
He's a fan.
And I went, this is amazing. And as I was, you know, forced to leave and go through the security.
Forced to leave.
Yeah, I was forced to leave security by, you know, getting the X-ray machine. Yeah. And I said to the bloke at the other end of the X-ray machine, I said, this is like, this is great. Because he'd seen the attraction. And he goes, mate, this is how security should be. A good experience. And I went, wow. Yeah. It was so good.
Absolutely.
It was a great experience. Yeah. I've never had a good experience like that before.
Well, I think it helps that there's no one there. If it was busy, they don't have time to have the banter.
I don't know.
If it's busy, it's okay. Next, you know, everyone's in a hurry.
You know, they
that's the thing.
It's just, mate, you just got to smile. Sometimes you got to smile.
Yeah, I know. I've got to learn that.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying no, but
I mean, sometimes I've got to think of that. Like, you know, when you got to, it's you know, no one's dying. We're all okay.
You know, it's just in your work. Like, you know, I'm talking about the TSA agents, security agents, and I know it's a horrible job because it's boring all day doing the same thing, right? But I don't know. That's what you sign up for. I feel like that's the problem.
You meet a lot of people.
And that's, like, I think that's how this guy, I reckon this guy, through all the months or years of just seeing Aussie passports, he's maybe asked the question, who's your favourite Aussie singer or something?
And he's just, remembered it.
He's remembered. He's like, he's got a super memory. You know what I mean?
It's good.
Like, it was, mate, it we had such a smile. Better.
And you left, and there wasn't many people in the line, no one in the line.
No, no,
quiet.
Straight through. So was it?
Were you leaving in the evening, morning, midday? When were we leaving? Evening would have been an afternoon departure, wouldn't it?
And it was a late afternoon departure.
Late arvo, because normally the flight's out of LA or
late afternoon.
Yeah. Okay.
It was good.
That's lovely, mate.
It was lovely.
That's lovely.
Anyway, don't fly Delta. They're rubbish. just an airliner, usually. They don't have pajamas.
Do you take your own?
Here's the annoying thing. No. You know, and this is how the other half lives. Sorry, people, but we fly business class. That's just sometimes how it is. Anyway, the cabin, the first class cabin, business class cabin in Delta is quite good. It's a proper little cubicle with a sliding door and everything.
Business class.
Yeah, very nice. It's called Delta One.
Yep.
Which
is where you were sitting.
I often don't bother with the food, but I said I'll have the...
Don't bother with the food. What?
I just have a pack of M&Ms and that gets me through a flight, right?
You joking?
I rarely eat airline food. But this meal, mate, let me tell you right now, this meal they served up.
You're going to talk about food, Rao?
Yeah.
That's the last thing I want to talk about. Please.
It was legit the, and I've seen a lot of meals.
Yeah.
It was legit the best meal I've ever had on a plane.
And you reckon Delta are rubbish?
Yeah, well, no, this went down here for me. Beautiful chicken breast, mashed potato.
Wow.
Carrots and Brussels sprouts.
Wow.
Just unbelievable.
Did you tweet that? What the heck
no,
was there's captured on it?
No, I didn't. No, that was a WhatsApp message to someone.
Oh.
Wow. It was.
Nice, eh?
Mate, I cleaned the bowl. It was unbelievable. And it just went downhill from there, you know, service. And
oh,
it was
no.
just, yeah, not. It wasn't
you sleep
a fun airline.
Most of the way home anyway?
Oh, yeah, I sleep a lot. No dramas at all. Yeah. But just as an airline experience, it's fun. You know, when we fly as much
Delta,
as we
do,
you know, you can really see the difference between airlines.
Of course you can, yeah.
It was not a fun experience.
So Virgin, no more international travel.
No, we fly United now for Virgin.
We fly United. So Virgin people.
Virgin customers, right? Yeah, United is now a Virgin.
Is that a COVID thing? Because they just stopped flying international.
Well,
COVID,
you know, they went bust basically, didn't they? You know, okay. At the start of COVID.
Great company, eh?
The new. Well,
yeah.
Qantas did too, but they got a lot of government money, so, you know.
Yeah, they sort of went, into hibernation.
Yeah, yeah. Staff are really happy. So, you know, they've got a code share with
okay.
United. Anyway, all good. That's enough banter, Stephen.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fenech from techguide.com.au.
Lovely to be with you here on episode 542 of Two Blokes Talking Tech. Trevor Long, Stephen Fenech, thanks to the great people at Netgear and Arlo, who we'll tell you more about shortly. But if you need networking, you go to Netgear. If you need home security, go to Arlo. Stephen, I was confronted with many an email this week from Optus mobile customers who received this, an email from Optus with a beautiful graphical header saying, we're making changes to your mobile plan. Yeah,
making them more expensive.
And the email read, at Optus, we're committed to keeping Australians connected in the moments that matter while continuing to offer choice and great value. We've been investing in our network to roll out the fastest 5G, great innovative living network. that puts you in control. A new subscription management service, StubHubs, allows you to save on your everyday costs like your Netflix subscription. Our ongoing investment in better and new services, the growing usage of our network, and the widespread cost of inflation, also experienced by Optus, means we've made the difficult decision to increase the price of our mobile plans.
Oh, my.
From the 8th of August, so 1 month, the price of your mobile plan will increase by $4 a month. So the 49...
$4.
The 39 goes to 43, the 49 goes to 53, and the 59 goes to 63.
Is this per month or per 28 days?
Per month. These are... Like, a lot of people are confused. They think they're on a contract. You're not. It's people that are not on a prepaid plan. You know, postpaid. The $43 plan will now feature 20 gig of data, up from 10.
Yep.
The $53 plan will now feature 80 gig of data, up from 60. And the $63 plan will now feature 160 gig, up from 100.
Yeah, right. So people aren't you going to suddenly start using more data.
That's my point.
But they're going to give them more, going to cost them more.
So it's like saying, so we're going to charge you more, but we're going to give you something you don't need. Yeah. Like, if you need more data, you'll change plans.
Yeah.
So giving someone who's paying $59 an extra 60 gigabytes of data, who suddenly needs 60 gigabytes of data? Yeah. You've got to remember, it was only a month ago that Telstra announced they were using CPI as an excuse.
From July. Well, didn't they take effect now from July 1?
Is it from July or August? Anyway, it's bloody soon if it's not now, by $3 and $4 a month. So similar price hikes.
Yeah.
I said back then on this very show, I said I don't remember ever CPI or inflation being used as a reason
now
for price
changes.
Now it's
set the tone, eh? Because look what Optus are doing, and Telstra even at the time, remember, said we're going to consider this annually so that you can assume that it's going to go up a couple of months every year.
And look, I saw so many messages from people online about it, and it's funny how people on social media don't always respond. There was one lady who tweeted about this, and I replied, you know what, let me know your data usage and what your circumstances are. I'd love to find you a better deal, because I love doing that. It's a weird adrenaline rush, but I love finding people a better deal. I love knowing that I've saved you $200 a year or something, right?
Yeah.
Especially in this moment of difficulty, because it's so many prices are going up.
Petrol costs a lot of money.
But honestly, like, why are you paying $63 a month? There's no way, mate, seriously. We've had this discussion about our own usage before.
Yes.
Buying 100 gigabytes of data a month, let alone 160, is stupid.
Yeah.
The average is 10.
Yeah. Would you reckon, in light of what's happened with Telstra and now with Optus, would it be, and I'll get you to read the data as well, would it be, you'd probably want to downgrade your plan?
So this is the point, right? So you make a good point. So let's say you've been taken from 49 to 53.
Yep.
You're now getting 20 gig. Extra, you were getting 60.
Yeah.
But to go down $10, you're only getting 20 gig. You were getting 60 on the other one. But my point is this. If you're on the $53 plan and last month you were getting 60 gig and next month you're getting 80 gig, how much are you using?
Yeah.
Because that's what matters.
Totally.
I reckon most people...
20 gig? Do you reckon most people would get by with 20 gig?
The average is 10.
Wow.
So most
can
people...
Can you check how much you've used? How hard is that to do?
I'll be honest.
Your usage.
I think it'll be very hard for me because it's been a while since I've logged into my Vodafone. But I just think that people are complacent. I think people are not looking around. I don't think people see this in the same way they do. Like petrol prices. I mean, when you drive past a Shell and it's $2.23, people will go, oh, there's a BP up the road. It's $2.19. I'm going to go there. People will go out of their way to save 4 cents a litre on petrol, which might be $4
Won't shop around for a good, better phone plan.
Exactly.
Yeah,
isn't that remarkable?
Yeah. And when you think about it, you know, with you know, obviously groceries cost more, petrol costs more, interest rates are going up. You'd think that now would be a good time to do that stock take.
Exactly.
On these monthly expenses that you have, like, you know, do you need to have 5 streaming services? Do you need to be on the top phone plan?
Do you
need 100 megabit, 250 megabits, 100 megabits, 50 megabits per second on the NBN? So these are those variables. You know, do you need to have all the packages on the Foxtel, on your Foxtel? Or so these areas where you could easily go in, really take a hard look at what you use and save a bit of cash.
I'm annoyed a little bit by people who aren't trying hard to save money in that in that way.
Because it's possible, isn't it?
Yeah, I moved both Jackson and Amanda to Kogan Mobile because it meant we could pay $120 for the whole year.
My parents are on the same plan. My parents are on the 365 plan. They get, I think, 12 gig of data per month, and it's like $140 a year or something, is it? $140, $160?
I think I paid $125, but there's even less. Included data, so I'm looking at my thing. I've got 30 gig left of 50, so I'm not using 20. I'm using about 20.
I've got a ridiculous amount of data on my one as well.
The problem is it doesn't tell me how long I've got to go or what my previous usage is. But, okay, so maybe I'm a heavy user, you could say. I don't think I'm the average user, that's for sure. And I think that this is all you need to do. It's taken me in the time of maybe 3 minutes there because I went to Vodafone, I clicked login, I put in my mobile number, it sent me a link and I was able to log in immediately, right?
Yep.
My usage for the last they're days. Can you just give it to me by month? Past bills. Bottom line, I did it in a short space of time, I was able to see my broad usage. I say, look at your last 3 months.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I think that's the best thing to judge it by.
I think my plan starts, I think, the first of every month. So you know how much I got on my plan?
Oh, like 100 and something?
More.
180?
300 gig I got on my plan.
On your mobile plan?
Yeah, I've got the $65 plan, and I've got 300 gig of data.
What are you using?
I'm just trying to work out how to work that out. Hang on. See detailed usage. Here we go. So, hang on. That's calls. How do I get the data? Great, great bloody podcasting.
I was just going to say, isn't this great content?
Great content.
Just unbelievable. But the bottom line is, mate, I can tell you right now, you don't need that much data. Straight up.
I agree. Hang on. The one filter. Let's go just the, hang on, build on June 20. That's my last bill. Apply.
I think this is the challenge. Podcasting. The challenge to everyone listening is find your usage for the last 3 months and tell me that you are genuinely getting value for money. Because that's what matters. Not sure you are.
Yeah.
And I think that people are reluctant to change.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the last week. Today I used 500 meg so far. Yep. Yesterday I used 157 meg.
Jesus, mate.
Because I was probably at home. I was on my Wi-Fi.
That's great, mate, but you spend a lot of time at home. You work from home. You got Wi-Fi.
I know.
Why would you ever need 300 gigabytes?
Because it was there. It says 300 gigabytes max speed data, then access data at speeds of 10 megabits per second. So as if I'm going to hit 300 gigabytes a month.
Dude, you're part of the problem. Are you with me? You're part of the problem.
Yeah.
So the thing is, and I say this regularly, and I think our audience is savvier than we might expect, and I appreciate that, and I apologize if I'm talking down to you, but there's a couple of simple things. You can take your phone number with you. So you can go today and get a SIM card from a Servo or Woolies or wherever you go, and you can choose to sign up to a new telco, and you can take your phone number. That's a critical thing. People don't really. And if you listen to this and you're going, yeah, of course, make sure people you know that. Tell your family, tell your friends, because people think they're going to lose their mobile number. You don't.
Yeah.
That's a big
deal. There's also, I think a lot of people, A, just can't be bothered. B, they don't realise that there's better out there.
Yeah.
So once you get over those two main hurdles, and I think if you're a parent, just like you did with your kids and I did with mine, when they're, even today, I sort of suggest ways for them to, if they're on a really expensive plan, it's just a matter of deciding to have the change, for the change, and then looking at what's out there.
Yeah.
Just, I think that's, you're crazy if you're not doing that now. Especially now where these are, that $4 a month, times that by 12, that's money. You could switch plans and potentially save more than what they're putting the price. You could move down to a plan and save $10 a month.
I would argue if you're with Telstra, Optus or Vodafone, maybe less likely Vodafone, but definitely still, if you're paying more than $50 a month, you could save at least $10 a month. Mm. Probably 20 if you're real about your data.
Yeah.
So I say people who are willing to switch will instantly save because there's instantly better deals, right? And then if you actually are honest about your data usage, because people say, I'm like, no, no, 60 gigs so that I never go over. Breaking news, you don't go over anymore. You don't get charged anymore.
You just get throttled.
You just get throttled. And if that happens, you can just up your plan. So the if you are serious about your data usage, you'll probably find you could save $15 to $20 a month. Man, that's $200 to $300 a year.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
No. But people aren't doing it, mate.
Yeah. I think people do you think that there's an attachment to particular networks now? Like, has it become loyalty to a network thing? Or people, I know people who maybe live in the country in remote areas that I only can use Telstra.
Switch to Boost.
I've got to have Telstra.
Switch to Boost.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and I did this the other day on the Today Extra. We were talking about mobile plans, and I said, here's three great pay up front deals. And I don't suggest everyone does pay 12 months up front. I do it.
It doesn't suit everyone.
I say once you find a good network, a good telco, and you like their service and all that stuff, so don't switch to Kogan today with 12 months. What if you hate it?
Yeah.
Switch for a short period of time, and if you like it, then make the commitment.
Kogan, which, by the way, uses Vodafone, huh?
And so, so here's three deals. Kogan, 12 months in advance, great deals.
Yep.
Catch Mobile, great deals, 12 months in advance. Boost Mobile, 12 months in advance. Telstra, Optus, and Vodafone.
Yeah.
So whichever network, Optus is Catch, Optus. And Vodafone is Telstra.
And
is Kogan.
Yeah, because I've got my parents, as I said, are on the 12-month plan, and they get 12 gig a month, which I know for a fact they get nowhere near using that amount of data.
And I think that's the lowest one you can be on.
Yeah. And I think, too, that people, I reckon, as you suggested, would be surprised at how little data they use.
That's right.
Like, unless I don't know, whether you're on a commute and you're watching YouTube all day or whatever, of course you're going to use more, but I think, what did you say, the last 3 months? Set that as your...
Find the last 3 months.
As what you've used.
That should give you a good indication of what you've done in recent time. Don't look at last month, because it might have been a light month or a big month.
Yeah.
Look at the last three.
Take it back even further than that.
As far as you can.
Yeah. Just to get an average.
Yeah.
Better average. That's what you want. On what you're doing.
And I genuinely think, and there's so many, like there'd be 50 different mobile telcos out there.
Yeah.
All of them have different, like the other one I showed on the TV that day was Circles.life. Now, I tried Circles.life. It wasn't for me.
Is that Telstra?
No, it's Optus.
Optus.
It's a fully online telco, basically. So you can only use the app. And I was just testing at the time, and it was a bit frustrating to get out of it. So you had to kind of close off your plan because it would keep milling me and stuff. But that's just a small thing for me.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Jackson tried Belong for a little while.
Okay, that's Telstra.
That's Telstra.
Yep.
It was great, but we found a better deal with Kogan.
And now I think, too, what's going to make it easier for people, too, is that if they've got a recent phone, they can also use the eSIM.
And, a lot of people are.
Is that hard to switch?
No.
So it's simple to do
even
that?
Easy. So I'll give the Kogan example, but Woolworths also have eSIM, and there's a bunch of others. So you could go right now. You could stop what you're doing, go to the website of Kogan, and you could go, Kogan Mobile, I want the $120 for 12 months, or I want whatever plan. And then in the basket, what you do is you add, they would normally automatically add a SIM card and send it to you.
$2 or something,
And so what they're doing now is you can add to an eSIM.
Ah.
And so you add that in the shopping basket.
Do they charge for that?
I think they do, actually, like $2.
So you're paying for nothing. Paying for oxygen.
You're paying for the creation of the QR code. But anyway, so you've got to put an eSIM in your basket. And then what happens is you pay for it, and then you get a couple of emails. One going, here's your voucher code for your 12 months.
Yep.
And then a little, maybe 10 minutes later, you'll get an email with, here's your QR code. You scan that QR code with your phone, and the network is set up. It's done.
On your eSIM.
And then you basically just go through a process on their website where you go, I've done this, I've linked this, done deal.
Activate.
Easy.
So we're talking minutes.
Within half an hour, you can have
you could be switched
thought about it, gone to the website, done the thing, got the emails and switched.
Cool. Yeah.
And it is that easy. And I didn't even know.
eSIMs have go back of like if you've got a Samsung phone, an iPhone, then you're probably sorted. Some of the Oppos have it as well. Some of the Motorola phones have it also. So it's sort of your mid series to flagship phones have eSIMs. But even if you do need a bit of plastic, the SIM card, they normally send it, overnight, two days?
You'll get it in a few days. But my thing about the eSIM is it creates that instant satisfaction. If you do it in the post, generally, you're going to end up in 5 days, you get the post. Then you've got to find that half an hour again in your life to do it. And a lot of us are just
find the time.
Lazy, busy,
I've
right?
I've helped my mother-in-law do that too. She switched from, she was with Vaya. And she was hardly getting any data. The service wasn't that good, so I put her under Kogan too for 12 months. Yeah, And they sent her the SIM card, and we sat down and did it.
Aren't we? Kogan, just making Kogan happy.
Well, it's, you know, if it's, were they one of the first to offer 12-month plans?
Yeah, I think that, well, they weren't the first, I'll be clear, but I'm
among,
sure they,
among the first.
I actually think that it's very hard to get one-month plans from them now.
Right.
I think it's actually mainly long-term plans, which is fine, but it's just, you know, I find it hard to suggest it to people if they can't try them out for a bit.
Do you remember when you used to sign up for a two-year contract?
And I think people still think they're on
a 24-month contract.
I think people still think they're on a contract.
And even after that, they're like, once you've done your 24-month contract, you're just on a month-to-month then after that.
That's right.
Paying the same price.
And if you are with a let's say with Optus or Telstra, you are actually paying off the phone on a monthly deal. And and the mobile plan is separate. Now, I actually don't know how it works. If you were to leave them and then want to continue paying off the phone, I assume you can.
I don't think you can. No, well, but then maybe telcos, you got to pay out the phone,
which is like a stupid thing.
Yeah, you got to pay it out.
And that's why you should never get a phone through a telco.
Yeah, try to get it just to be BYO. You're
better off putting it on a bloody credit card and paying that off over 12, 24 months, right?
Maybe.
Not financial advice.
But also, I think a lot of people who say they've got an iPhone, they normally trade their old iPhone to make the new one cheaper.
Yeah.
So you got a two-year-old. So what, this year you're going to buy the 14, you can trade in your 12, which is 5G phone. That'll get you a decent amount off it, so you buy the other one brand new.
When, before you came to sit down with Nick the other day at BMW, last time I met with Nick, we had this whole conversation about saving money on your mobile.
Yep.
And he switched, I think he switched to Boost or Kogan. Anyway, he switched and he's like, mate, I'm saving heaps, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
And then he said, but then I may have got to get a new phone. And I said, well, here's the drum. You're doing very well. Just go and buy a new phone, right? But I said, you've already got an iPhone. So let's say you buy an iPhone 13. I said, and we've had said this before, we're repeating it, but it's good advice. Take the phone out of the box. Have a screen protector and a case ready. Take the phone out, put it straight in the case.
Yeah.
Put the screen protector on. Then turn it on. Protect then again. Don't take the cable, the charging brick, anything out of the phone, out of the box.
Out of the box, leave it in there.
Put the box back on, put it in a shelf. In 12 months, or 24, whatever you choose, take the screen protector off, take the cover off, put the phone back in the box after you've wiped it.
Brand new.
You've got a brand new phone yourself.
Absolutely.
It is worth hundreds of dollars more.
It sounds like what I tell my kids every time they get a new phone. Trying to convince them, put a case on it, protect it. It's an investment. It's going to help you pay for the next one.
It's legit hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, for
sure. People think that you buy a $60 case and a $30 screen protector, you're wasting another $100. No. That $100 comes back to you.
Protects you. It's like your insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Good advice.
Anyway,
you should do it. Listen to what we're saying, people.
I just felt a little frustrated this week by there's no point shouting at the clouds about a price increase. No. It's going to happen. And let me be clear, Optus is entitled to put their prices up. Yeah. Their costs are going up. I get it.
Did they say it's the first time they put prices up for?
They've never said that. No.
Yeah. But look, it's become one of those necessities. It's not like saying, well, petrol's expensive, I'm not going to drive my car anymore.
Yeah.
You need a phone. You're not going to say, well, I'm not going to make phone calls anymore. Yeah. You need your device.
Yeah.
No getting out of that. So anyway, you can save a few bucks. And look, interest rates went up again this week, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like by 0.75, 0.5 again. So that's people are thinking, here, how much extra my mortgage am I have to pay here? Like, it's like we're talking hundreds of dollars extra.
Yes.
So if this isn't the best opportunity for you to take a look at where you can save money, I don't know what is.
Yeah, exactly. Two blokes talking financial, mobile phone, mobile plan, and just general life advice.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, Trevor, I know that you have had 1 gigabit per second. How long you had that now for?
A
couple of years?
A year or two.
You know, during COVID, you got it or before that?
It's just pretty standard fare. Yeah.
So gigabit per second, and you got that through your HFC cable, is that right?
Yep, so I got the old
Foxtel cable.
The old Foxtel, the old Big Pond cable.
Yes.
That's what's connected
so
to
So that
my
was
house.
Enabled to run a gigabit per second?
Yes.
Well, guess what, Trev?
No.
Fibre to the curb I have right now, but I just found out I could, if I wanted to, upgrade to 1 gigabit per second
services. I just showed Stephen a screenshot. We had a big power outage the other day, and so we had to get the internet back on. I said to Jacko, I said, do a speed test, mate. Check it for me. 586 down.
Oh, you just texted him now.
43 up. No, this was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
That was when all the devices were just coming
on. How much was it?
43 up, 560 down. I'd normally get 600 to 700 down.
Aussie broadband?
Aussie broadband, yeah.
Because I'm looking. So,
how did this come about?
Like, well, I saw something on Facebook, clicked on it, and I found out. I ended up on the Aussie broadband website. Found
so was
out,
it like an Aussie ad? Or
I think it was an Aussie broadband ad on
genius.
Facebook.
Genius, right, yeah.
So I ended up on their site and said, check if you can qualify for the gigabit per second services.
Yeah.
And I've typed my address in and said, yeah, you qualify for either a business or a residential account plan. And you can go either 250 or there's nothing in between, 250 or,
that's it, yeah.
or 1,000 or megabits 1,000, or yeah. gigabit per second. And I found that I qualified, and I'm thinking, wow. And then
now, is this part of the fibre upgrade service?
Yes, or? It is. Yeah, so right. It's part of that. They were saying that I've got fibre to the curb right now, yes. So I've got fibre to the pit. So if I and this will only be done if I decide to sign up for that faster plan, NBN will roll into action and give me the extra bit of fibre,
yep.
and then give me the equipment to go with it, and then I'm capable then of the. I will technically then be fiber to the premises and then be able to access those services. So
brilliant.
Anyone now who's on fiber to the curb, it's worth checking because I remember getting a call. I sent Aussie Broadband my details, got a call the next morning
wow.
and the guy was talking to me. It was really good. He was saying, oh, here, this is, you just need to work out where the box is going to go. When we're inside the house, you need some equipment and he was saying, look, you can check with NBN. He sent me all this information about what's involved in it, and I ended up signing up to the NBN to get updates when the service was available, when if I wanted to hear updates about when and what plans I can access. I remember getting an email.
So is it actually available?
Yeah, it is, yeah. NBN, I got an email from NBN, and they says, great news, you've signed up to the updates. Your area qualifies for fibre to the premises upgrade.
Yeah.
And I went, how good's this? And they said, then it says, click here to see the telcos that are offering, because you have to sign up to the plan
yes.
to get the NBN to come out to make the
that's
upgrade.
Right, yes.
And so there was dead set 20, 30 telcos
yes.
that I could have chosen from, including Optus, who I'm still with, and Aussie Broadband, who I'm looking at. So haven't heard back from Optus yet, though. I think I sent them their details a couple of days ago. Crickets. No one called
straight
me.
Up, that to me
no
is an indicator. Like, yeah. You know, people actually don't have that many problems with internet these yeah. days.
I'm on 100 megabits down,
yeah.
40 up. And, mate, touch wood, I've had no problem.
Yeah.
It's been good.
And
I
so
know, I know the speed is what I'm used to. So I haven't experienced the faster speed. So, you know, like you don't miss what you don't have sort of thing. So I've...
And I want to be clear. Yeah. I'm not even sure it's going to make a big difference to your life. I think yeah. that, you know, it's when you're downloading things, like when yeah. you're doing... game updates and stuff, you'll notice.
Yeah, right.
Like, big time.
Yeah.
But it's still, remember, you're throttled at the other end, though. You know, a game update server might be
yeah.
running slow because it's busy. You're not going to get yeah, 1,000 right. every time you do stuff.
Yeah, true.
And you won't get 1,000 often. I have seen a 900 on my speed, but normally I get 600 to 700.
That was the other thing, too. I went to the Optus website and typed in and looked at their plans. And then, like, almost hidden away was, it says, check here, click here for the ultra-fast... So it was almost like they didn't want you to see it. There was obviously faster speeds. So I clicked through,
really?
And it said typical evening speed 300 megabits per second. Typical evening speed for Aussie Broadband was 600 megabits per second.
Yeah, so and it makes a difference because that's about how much, and this is a really critical thing we haven't talked about for years, but you and your next door neighbor might have the same NBN technology, might be signed up to the exact same plan, but with different telcos,
yeah.
and you will get different speeds. Because the telcos have to buy an amount of traffic capacity in your area.
Yep.
And if one has too many customers, then they won't have as good a speed, right?
Yeah.
But
don't Aussie Broadband make that information available?
I was actually literally looking at it now.
And Optus and Telstra and everyone doesn't.
I've never seen another one do
so
it.
So what
right?
do they call that information?
So your POI, point of interconnect. So there's, I think, 52 yeah. or 152 yeah. POIs across the country.
Yep.
And so you're in the Kensington POI,
yes,
right?
That sounds familiar.
So Aussie Broadband CVC graphic.
Please be better than you.
CVC. Please. Oh, no, it won't. It doesn't really tell you that it's better than anywhere else because what Aussie Broadband do is when they... I'm typing while I'm talking, so it's difficult for me to do two things. I'm a man. when they select your POI, what do we say it was? Kensington. So they've got two there. So I'll show you the graph. So this is the Kensington POI.
Yep.
And what you'll see is the blue line at the very top, and anyone can do this on the Ultra Broadband website. The blue line at the top is their capacity, right? So they've got nearly 6,400 megabits per second capacity.
Yeah, I'll take that.
The black line is the usage. This is real time. This is the last 24 hours of usage. Yeah, wow. So you can see that it didn't get towards capacity yesterday. What Aussie do is if they get towards capacity, they automatically buy more. But what they also do is if they're regularly at capacity and they can't get more, they will not sign new customers up in that area.
Wow. So better getting quicker, eh?
So, yeah, well, that's the thing, right? So there's one other Kensington POI. It's very similar, right?
Yeah.
Whereas mine is Asquith. And
is it one or two?
It's pretty. Oh,
mine's
pretty
better.
They've got more
mine's
capacity.
Better.
But you know, similarly, like not going near the.
What does that tell you? What the maximum speed you can get, or what does it tell you?
No, it doesn't. It just tells you that they're not at capacity.
Right.
Which means there's always.
That's not speed. That's capacity.
That's capacity. This is all about capacity.
Not speed, right?
Yeah, it's all because that's what matters.
I'd love to go faster than you.
If Optus and Telstra published that.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, they would hit capacity.
Of course, riots. Yeah, right.
No, but see, the thing is, it's okay if they hit capacity.
Yeah, I'm with Optus, and I very rarely, touch wood again, have had an outage or a dropout or
no. Anything. And to be clear, I'm not talking about outages. Yeah. I'm just talking about hitting your network capacity. So, if Optus don't have as much capacity as Aussie, but they have more customers, then they will hit their capacity limit, which means that everyone will suffer a slight speed difference.
Yep.
Most people wouldn't know, and which is why Telstra, Optus, Dodo, whoever the hell, it's why they don't know, because who's checking?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who is regularly checking their download speeds?
Yeah, right. It's like looking at your car's trip information, you know, to see how efficiently you're driving. You don't know everyone checks that.
I'm going to ask Jackson to do another speed test.
Uh-huh.
Because it's peak time right now.
Yeah, you're right.
He might be doing something else, so he might not be able to.
But
the ACCC internet speed checking website thing is fascinating, because that's real people, real homes with this extra little box in their home, which regularly does it. Like every, I don't know, half an hour, 20 minutes or something, it polls the internet and does a speed test. And it reports that back to the ACCC. That's where they have that number which says average speeds.
Right.
That's where that number comes from.
Okay.
Broadband.
So you're saying on average you're getting... like 500, 600?
On
average?
Easy. I've never seen it that regularly lower than that at all.
Yeah, right.
So broadband performance data is the thing that the ACCC publishes. Download speeds in the busiest hour, which is really fascinating. It's like busy hours.
They could set a 7 to 11, the busy hours, is that right? 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.?
I believe. But no, but you can actually just choose the busiest hour on this graph. And like Aussie Broadband is at 93.5% of their... you know, promised capacity.
Yeah.
Optus is at 97. Well, there's no issue there.
Wow. So that's better than Aussie Broadband.
Yeah, but this is on, I think this is only on the 100 meg speed.
Right. which is what I'm on now.
They're only testing that, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, you're not gonna really notice, because there's a lot less people on those bigger plans. I don't believe the average speed for very high services. Download all hours, 700 versus, so 700 is a big number to get, basically.
Wow. So how do they sell you a gigabit per second then? Because it's capable of getting it once.
It's the genuine capacity of the network. It's like when there's got to be headroom in the network to allow kind of things to happen.
Because if everyone's at that top speed.
It's like when 100 first came out, no one got 100. You get 93 to 94, that was a good number.
Yeah.
But they actually then took away the headroom because there was capacity. And now
during COVID,
you should be getting closer to 100.
I've got over 100. Like 101 of
them. Yeah, that's because
it's now taken away the...
I think it's 105% now is the... Yeah. Like they've taken away the headroom that was
there.
I don't
mind that.
Yeah.
Don't mind a bit of headroom.
You idiot. Anyway, that's two blokes talking about our internet speeds and Stephen's ability to finally get what I've got.
And I want to go better than you. That's what I want. I want to show you a speed test that just puts you in the dust. I'm going to think, check this out.
In the
country, they don't have speeds as well as they do in the city.
Is that a way to talk to a mate? I mean, really? That'd be like me saying to you.
Because you show me.
That'd be like me saying to you, you still don't have Telstra 5G.
Yeah, good on you.
You still don't have Telstra 5G, do you?
I've got Vodafone 5G.
Yeah, but you don't have Telstra.
No.
It's very weird to me.
I'm going to be talking very sharply to our friends
at Telstra. Is it weird to you as well that you still don't have 5G?
Well, there's a little black hole there. I don't know why. Although I haven't, it could have, that little gap could have filled
in. Oh, because you haven't
tested 5G. I haven't been on Telstra for a year and a half. Like,
fascinating.
Yeah.
Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
Two Blokes Talking Tech, proudly supported by our good friends at Arlo. And this week we're talking about Arlo Secure. So up to, you can have up to 4K video resolution recording, 30-day cloud video history. You see the animated previews, interactive notifications, smart object detection, person, package, vehicle, or animal. Also, you can set activity zones for selected devices when connected to continuous AC power. Priority support also from Arlo. Now, over the past few weeks, you know, we've been bragging about all the cool features of the Arlo security cameras.
Yeah.
It's safe to say we know Arlo has great hardware, but did you know they also have fantastic software service too, Trev? So Arlo Secure is the software subscription service that helps Arlo customers enhance their security experience. And kind of like my Tesla, the software upgrades regularly so that it gets better over time. With the free trial that comes with your Arlo hardware purchase, you get up to 3 months, and you get benefits like priority support, activity zoning for select cameras, video recording up to 4K. My favorite feature is the animal detection. It keeps
Ziggy and
tracking
Zaggy.
My dog Ziggy and Logan in the backyard and tells me that it's not an intruder. It's, in fact, my dogs.
Just love the fact that Ziggy and Zaggy makes it into Arlo's notes. But no, thing for me about Arlo Secure, and I use this literally every day, is package detection. So I can see what's at the front door. And I get a notification, not just there's motion at the front door, but there's a package at the front door. Because I don't want something, whether it's the size of a TV or the size of a nice little Amazon package, little online shopping parcel. I don't want any of that going missing. So for the starting price of a Sydney cappuccino, how can you go wrong? To subscribe, all you need to do is sign into your Arlo app, add in your details, and you are up and running in no time.
Absolutely. And Arlo, they're great supporters of the Two Blokes Talking Tech podcast. If you want to find out more about their great range of products, go to arlo.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
637.
Is that the latest
8
one?
8 p.m. speed. And that's also, wow. I've got iCloud Private Relay turned on my computer.
Really? So what does that do?
Well, it's kind of like a VPN, Apple thing.
Yep, yep.
So I actually think it would be better if that was turned off. But
really?
Mate, 637, like far out.
I'm getting it.
Like, it's so good.
I'm getting it.
Just for the numbers.
But, you know, I want to.
I've had that conversation all week about 5G because I was talking on the radio, and I haven't mentioned it here, but Aldi Mobile and Telstra and Woolworths Mobile now have 5G plans. But they're $60-odd, right? And every radio station's like, should I get it? I'm like, no. Like, why would you pay? The only reason to get 5G is so that you can do what I do and do a speed test and brag about it. It's the only reason.
Yeah. But it depends on where you use 5G. Like 5G.
Where
like
and how?
At a footy stadium or at an airport or something.
Exactly.
You get better capacity, lower latency and all that sort of stuff.
Very good point, Steve.
So it depends on where you use your phone. If you use your phone and it's fine how it is, not 99%
spoken by a man who goes to the footy every couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. You can't get that text message out.
Now, other big news this week was that the Australian motoring groups, now this is NRMA, RACV, RACT, RACQ, all the different motoring bodies, which, you know, for years we've relied on for roadside assistance, you know, checking the battery, or the magazines that tell you, you know, which cars are good and where to stay and discounts and all that kind of stuff. They were a shareholder in ChargeFox. They are now the owner of ChargeFox. So Tim Washington, who is the boss of JetCharge, he and a couple others created ChargeFox years ago because they were smart and they saw the future coming. They were involved in electric chargers and they thought, we're going to need these things everywhere. Tesla's building these things for their cars. Who's building them for every other car?
Yeah.
So they've built out a network. They've had some government funding. They've had investors, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
They've built out a network that is the largest electric vehicle charging network in Australia.
So bigger than Tesla's supercharger network.
Oh, easily.
Yeah,
right. And it is basically the highway network. Now, everywhere I've gone in electric cars, and I've driven plenty of places, I've used ChargeFox.
Yep.
NRMA, RACV, all those, they've got some of these chargers, and they're kind of joint ventures. You know, they've got NRMA branding on them and they work through the NRMA network, but they're actually, you know, run and created by ChargeFox. So I found it fascinating, A, that the boys at ChargeFox would sell the business, but I think probably it's a smart move business-wise because it's like, you know, let's get out now, because it's going to get super intense. It's going to get really competitive. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of government funding and all this kind of stuff. Let's take the win and, you know, walk away. Well done. So not begrudging them that at all.
We're one of a few rather than one of many.
Exactly.
Later
right.
on. Yeah.
And I actually think this is the greatest acquisition in a long time, because I think who better to be the custodians of such a big network and of looking after the growing of that network than, and we'll talk New South Wales centric, but the NRMA.
Yeah.
Like such a trusted, respected brand. I was talking to a radio station in Tasmania about this, and they're like, RACT is such a trusted brand. I'm like, it's the same everywhere in Australia.
Yeah, that's good.
When have you ever heard something bad said about NRMA Roadside Service?
No, never. Nothing. Never.
Never.
And you think that, like you were saying, ChargeFox has got a wider footprint than even the Tesla Supercharger network.
Yeah.
And they have, obviously, along highways and in public places like car parks and places like that. Like I've seen, I think I saw a ChargeFox in a car park in the Des Renford Leisure Centre. There's one just in the middle of the car park there.
There's lots of them.
But they're sort of obviously along the main highways.
Their biggest part of the network is because they've got the ultra fast 350 kilowatt on the big highways.
Yep.
And then they've got, you know, Cherrybrook Shopping Centre's got a ChargeFox charger and that kind of stuff.
And so you need to sign up. You need to create a ChargeFox account.
Yep.
And then you just tap and with your credit card or whatever, and then you.
Yeah, so what you do is you sign up and they'll, if you choose to, they'll send you a little key fob, which is like a little credit card. You put that on your key ring and just tap and go. I use the app because you can when you pull up to a charger, you just open the app and you go start charge on the app and it just starts the charge.
What's the damage?
Same as Tesla, about 40 cents a kilowatt hour.
Yeah.
It's just gone up a bit.
So if you were pretty low on your charge and you wanted to charge it up fully, like what would the full charge be?
Again, that's like how long is a piece of string? Some cars have different batteries, right? But every time I've done the calculations, it's a third of the cost of a tank of petrol.
Right. So if you're paying $100,
you're probably going to pay $30. I remember driving, when I drove the Porsche Taycan from Melbourne to Sydney, I never paid more than $22. But I also never filled up like from 0 to 80. I was like 60 to 80 or 30 to 70. You know, like you never put a full tank in a car. It's like it doesn't work that way. It's you know, you might pay $10 one charge, $30 another. And you know, it's pretty affordable. But see, from the NRMA Motoring Group perspective, RACV, all those, it's a great business model because they will make money out of it, but it's also a huge cost.
More people are going to be using them.
They've got to put a bunch more into the network because the biggest risk factor right now is the network is unreliable. If you ask users, you know, you don't really have certainty that it's going to work. Luckily, the app is real time. It tells you whether they're down so you can plan ahead.
Yep.
But they've got to maintain them better. They've got to grow them. So there's a place at, I think it's Karua up on the Pacific Highway northbound just before Newcastle. There's only one thing there with two plugs, different types, CHAdeMO and type two. And so if two people pull up, you're screwed. You've got to wait, you know, 40 minutes, or you've got to hope that you've got enough to get to the next one.
That's the anxiety.
So they've got to build more, right?
Yeah.
So I think the NRMA and RACV are the best place to do those deals and to grow that network. And so they're also better lobbyists with the government, so they'll work with the government to get state and federal governments have announced so much funding around highway charging.
Why aren't petrol stations looking to the future?
They are.
Why aren't they saying, look, let's replace a Bowser, put a charger there?
Well, they'll never do that because that would be stupid because the Bowsers are placed differently, right?
People go through.
Every petrol station has four or five parking spaces.
Yeah.
And within years, they'll be charging chargers. Spaces, Ampol's definitely working on it. They've got some chargers set up already.
BP, I heard it.
They're all doing it, but, slowly.
There's a transition period.
Massive. Because why would they? They're more of a business than charge. So ChargeFox can operate in such a way that they go, right, we're going to spend $10 million this year on new charging locations. We reckon we can get $8 million in government funding. We're going to be in the can $2 million, but it's a long-term investment, right? It's a capex, opex thing, right? Whereas a petrol station's like, well, you want me to spend $5 million this year? Let's just spend $1 million every year for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
you know, it's a business. They've got to make money.
Transition.
I think you'll find that. And that's why I get out of ChargeFox now, because there will be that competition. When I drive to my brother's in a couple of weeks in Young, I don't know if I'm going to take an electric car, but there's only really two or three places to charge electric car, but there's a lot of petrol stations.
Right.
Now imagine they all become charging locations.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're going to have to eventually.
I lose all that anxiety. I just top up for 10 minutes. Yeah. Then I go to the next one, get another bloody drink and get, you know, you're just constantly topping up, and that's how it works. It'll be great. But I really love this as an investment. I'm
smart.
Here's what I also predict. I'm not an NRMA member. Are you?
No.
I haven't been for years because I've always had a new car-ish. Yeah. I remember when my BMW broke down once because I hadn't...
Like, you had a BMW?
Yes, because I hadn't bloody changed the oil or something, right? Whoopsie. It was my fault.
Whoops.
And we broke... It was near my father-in-law place. My father-in-law rang and he'd been such a long time in, I remember, they came out for my car, right?
Ah.
But I can imagine a time where I become a paying subscribed member to the NRMA, whether it's $20 a month or whatever. And what that gives me is, it gives me access to their open road magazine, roadside assistance. But it also gets me... You know, 10 cents a kilowatt hour off the price of charging.
That's the go.
So they'll create incentives in the same way that, you know, shop at Woolworths, you get 4 cents off at Coles at a service station.
Yeah.
Boom, do the same thing.
Absolutely.
That's what I do if I was in RMA.
One other thing, you said they've got the fast chargers.
Yeah.
Do you pay more for that?
No, because you just consume.
So you're paying just for usage, you use.
You only pay for what you put in.
Not the speed in which you get it.
And so it's in their interest to have faster ones because they can get through more people.
But they're not going to charge you more because you get a faster. Same price.
I'm pretty sure
same price. So whatever the amount of charge you get is going to be the same.
You pay for the electricity that goes into the car.
Right. So it's not the actual
fast or slow
speed of it. It's the amount you get.
If I was them, I'd charge more for it.
Yeah,
because in some cases I'd go for the slower one because I'm going to have lunch this time. So
yeah.
I'm going to be here for 40 minutes anyway. So plug it in for 40 minutes.
That was me today. I had coffee with an old mate at Broadway, and I thought, oh, that's all good. They've got superchargers there. So I normally charge on early in the week. I do a supercharge after my 2GB, but I thought this week I won't. I'll work to Wednesday, so I can park there. And I've got an hour then to, or 45 minutes, whatever it is, to charge the car before I get the idle charges. So it was, when I turned up, it was like there's 8 stalls in Broadway. 6 of them were taken, so there are only 2 spares. I plugged the car in and it said, normally, you know, you daily charge them, it's 90% on a Tesla. When I plugged in, it said, we've dropped you down to 80% because it's a high usage supercharge. We want you out quicker. But they said, oh, you can adjust it. And I just adjusted it up to 90. I thought, stuff it. I want to get 90% so I could stay there longer with my mate. And that's what ended up happening. It worked out perfectly. By the time I got to the car, it was just ticking over to 90% and I was ready to go. Yeah. But I timed it so that, like you said, I want to use a slower one because I want to have lunch.
Yeah.
So that's what I sort of timed it. So I got there and by the time we had our coffee and everything in our chat, I was ready to go.
It was full time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can see myself becoming an NRMA member, even if I've got a new car that has roadside assistance built into it.
Yep.
But with the electric incentive, I can see that being a thing for them. It'll be fascinating to look. This will be for intern Bruce. This is one of those moments that we'll look back on. In 5 years, we'll look back on this as being how did it change? What did happen with the NRMA and RSEB?
Yeah,
and that?
It's like looking back on. You know, it was the 15th anniversary of the iPhone. So it's like looking back. I remember doing the research for. The story, and it said Australia got their first iPhones in 2008, and the plan was, I think, had 1.5 gigabytes of data. that was what you got. That was the top plan.
Yeah,
you can go start at 500 if you want, 500 meg. That was the data limit.
It's like the
charging. We're going to be thinking there's everyone wherever you look. There's going to be a charger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Do you remember? I remember the day this was switched on. Telstra text message scam filter.
Oh, yeah, their scam filters.
It was when we were stayed at the Crown.
Yep.
Do you remember we went to with HP?
Yeah.
We stayed overnight at the Crown?
Yeah.
And that was the day that was announced, that it was the filter the day after. Okay. I don't know, I just associate that memory.
How do you remember that?
But it was back in April, and they said that they switched on this SMS scam filter. And would you believe, like at the time, it said, "Look, it's going to filter out scam messages before they even reach your phone." So that was the plan.
That's the whole point,
because it looks at the recipient, the sender, where it come from, time
the
of day,
contents of the message,
all the contents and everything. And they have they released a little announcement early this week that said, since April, they've already blocked more than 185 million malicious text messages, which equates to 1,500 scam text messages every minute.
Wow.
Isn't that a lot of scam text messages? People just don't realize. I know Telstra's got a lot of customers, but That's a lot of messages flying around.
That is a monumental amount.
So it's good news that, you know, and we know, I'm sure everyone listening to this, and you and me, have received text messages that that appear to be, oh, Medicare, update, you know, you're a COVID positive contact, up your date, your details here.
Yeah.
Or Australia Post, redirect your package. These are all received by text now. And it's a numbers game. They send out all these texts and hoping that a few people bite, and that's where they make either put malicious software on your device or on your computer, or they try to harvest your details, your identity.
Yep.
So good news that Telstra is they're blocking text, their scam filter for text messages.
Imagine, you know,
is
when
working.
You know when your phone blows up, you, I don't know, you get too many replies to a tweet or something like, you get all these notifications.
I don't turn them on, mate.
Imagine getting 1,000 text messages a minute.
That's a lot of you. There's many tweets.
There's something.
Notifications you get. Do you have all those notifications turned on? I don't have.
I have a lot turned
the
on.
The only notifications, I'll tell you now, the only notifications I've got turned on my phone is WhatsApp.
Yeah.
My text messages.
Yeah.
My Tesla app.
Yeah.
And the phone.
Well.
That's all.
Good on you, Stephen.
I don't have email, don't have Instagram, don't have Twitter, don't have Facebook notifications, don't have TikTok notifications. So I find that out when I get into those apps.
So do you have text turned on?
Text, of course I do.
Text you have turned on.
Text, WhatsApp. That's our favourite form of communication. Yep. We WhatsApp each other.
You're just talking amongst yourself, mate. I'm doing something very important.
Are you sending me a text message?
Just
you're trying to send me a scam text message?
Just bear with me, bear with me, bear with me.
But it is, and Telstra says that they have automatic machine scanning that looks at suspicious content like malicious links and other things like time, sender, recipient. And if a message looks suspicious, they'll block it. But get this right. You know how they've also got the same thing to block calls, scam calls?
Yes.
I had a call on 2GB today where a bloke said...
Scam?
Yeah, no. Bloke called in and said, you know what, I'm a sales rep. And I've rung customers and they don't get my calls. They find out that my call has been filtered as a scam call. And I went, really? And they call back and say, here we go. you idiot.
What's happening to your phone, Stephen?
I'm getting Rickrolled. Oh my God, how do you do that? It's the whole lyrics to Never Gonna Give You Up, you dickhead. Oh, my God. How do you do that? Look, he's still going. You idiot. And it's from Rick Astley. Oh, my God. That's bull.
Such
fun
thing to do.
And it said at the top, Hey, Stephen, as well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's still going.
Yeah, because it's the whole song.
Your heart's been aching, but you're too sharp.
I didn't just send you the chorus.
Inside, we both know what's been going on. I've got to say, I don't mind receiving that. That does. When this song was popular, Joe and I had first started dating.
Oh, was JB
that, was, that was like one of ours. That was like, would no, J- don't send her that. That was one of
come
our,
on! No, why not?
She's in bed.
Would she?
No, don't, mate. Don't, no.
Come on!
Please don't.
You
haven't got a number. You haven't got a number anyway.
I don't think I do. That's unbelievable. How do I not have your wife's number? What if something happens?
I haven't got your wife's number.
Haven't you?
No.
What if something urgent happened? I need to contact your wife.
No, mate.
In case of emergency.
No, mate. Won't be happening.
Are you saying you won't give me your wife's number?
How many freaking messages are sent to you, Stephen, by one of your mates via ricktext.com? You idiot. And why didn't that block? That wasn't blocked as a scam text message.
Because it's not a scam.
Because it's probably from a trusted contact.
It's not a scam, mate.
I'm going to put you on my. I'm going to put you on my spam list now.
It's not me, mate. It's a mate of mine, a guy I know in the local area.
Does he make money doing that?
He would make a. I assume a dollar, so that
text message cost you what, 20 cents?
I paid $5 for that.
Bull.
Yeah, because
just now.
Look, how many text messages
you paid
it is?
$5 just then.
Yes.
Wow.
Man, it's like 100 messages you just received.
Yeah, wow.
Every line of that is a text message.
That is ridiculous. Look at that.
Could you imagine being in a meeting
and just
having that come up? Because it just doesn't stop.
And what did you say? You sent me the short version?
No, that's the full version. You can choose just the chorus.
You idiot.
I must do that to Stefan.
It's from Rick. Rick.
Yeah, sure. You should do it live.
I might do it tomorrow morning.
Just say,
I don't think he keeps his phone on him at the studio. Oh,
doesn't he? Yeah, that'd be funny.
I'll have a look.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the song.
You don't have to give me Joe's number, but go to the website and do that.
I won't give you Joe's number.
What? I'm just saying, you go to the website and do
her
it.
Off. I got to
really. That would.
She's got a sense of humor as good as me, but that would piss her off.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you so protective. I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do that. Really? Would you like me to do that to your missus?
I think she'd laugh in the end.
You reckon?
Yeah.
So it's from Rick Astley.
Yeah.
But then doesn't it give you up at the end? Give you up?
No, just as a mate.
By one of your mates.
Yeah.
So you can anonymous. I can send that to anyone.
Yes. That's, anonymously.
That's really dangerous. That's danger.
It's awesome.
What about that?
How good is
it? What about if someone's like on TV or something and you send them that? They'll be thinking, imagine you got like my Apple Watch was getting all the notifications too. Imagine them, you'll see it on their watch as they're on TV or something like that's crazy. I reckon you'd do it to Carl Stefanovic without him knowing.
No, I definitely wouldn't tell him.
I'd just say,
I just need to make sure he's got his phone
with
him.
He'll go, hang on a minute.
Because it's less exciting if they come to the phone when it's all done. It's more exciting if they see them coming
it's
through.
It's happening to them, yeah.
It's like, what is going on
what
to my
is
phone?
Happening? You're getting rickrolled.
Yeah, yeah.
How are we? Only you would know that.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Good times.
Anyway, nice if kids. It's Telstra, they didn't think that was a scam, so we're good.
It's not a scam.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
Thanks to the great people at Netgear for supporting this wonderful, wonderful show. I mean, I think it's wonderful. Other people may disagree. But anyway, Netgear's got all your networking covered. Netgear's got Wi-Fi 6 built into a huge range of products. The Orbi Pro, they've got the Orbi mesh system in so many different models. I had a great conversation with someone on the EFTM podcast this week. She had a U-shaped house, Stephen, and she, you know, and she...
U-shaped house?
Yeah, that's right. And I assumed, you know, like the front of the house and then... Two ends
like
of it
a
go out. Yes.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, so this is really, really good. So you've got, it doesn't matter where you put the modem as long as it's in one of the three, you know, edges.
Sections, yeah.
And then you've just put two other satellites.
Yeah.
I said, even if you bought the $450 one with a three pack.
It'll connect.
It's perfect because all three will link together.
The courtyard.
Courtyard will be smashed with Wi-Fi.
In the middle. Is that the backyard of the courtyard?
It'd be amazing.
What is it?
I think, I don't know. She was on a farm, so.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. But Netgear's got you covered with your mesh solutions. Plus, the Orbi Pro has quality of service. So if you're running a cafe, you can also allow a public network. There's a bunch of really great things that Netgear do across their networking products. They've got you covered. You can see the full range at netgear.com.au.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Yes, Stephen.
We're at the end of the show here, Trent.
Are we?
Okay. And I thought I'd ask, rather than sort of coming up with a topic, let's ask a question.
What you're saying is you couldn't come up with a topic?
Well, we couldn't come up with a topic. But my question was desert island technology, but not a phone. So something you take to a desert island, a bit of tech, but it can't be a phone.
All right. So am I going there willingly or am I trapped? Is it
Well, you're going to be there for a long time.
Okay.
But so a bit of technology.
It's nothing to do with me trying to get out, right? And I can assume that there's some solar power to keep me going. I don't need to worry about its battery life,
yes,
right?
Yes, you could.
I think
this is a very interesting answer, though, because it can't be a phone.
Yes. Okay.
So whether you can't connect, it can't be like your headphones or earphones.
Because totally fine.
Where are you going to get your, if it's content driven, what are you going to do with it?
Oh, hang on. So I can't take an iPod Shuffle and headphones?
If it's preloaded, I guess, with songs.
Yeah.
If it's on there, you could do that.
See, this is the thing. Mate, I've won this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even the last iPod Shuffle, 2 gigabytes. Mate, that's enough songs for me.
Yeah.
I listen to the same songs every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like a holiday for me. I'd be like, okay, beach, good. Yeah, excellent. I need a bit of shade to make sure I don't get sunburnt too often. And I've got a bit of great music. Every minute I want in
so
my
a music player, which technically the iPods don't exist anymore. It's a phone.
But I've got one.
If it's modern tech, you can't have
So you're ruling out me taking an iPod because it's theoretically a phone.
That's what I'd take.
What'd you take?
Kindle.
Oh, God. I couldn't
so you can read.
Worse.
I put 1,000 books on it.
I'd prefer to just take pins and stab myself.
I'd take a Kindle with all with what heaps of books on it. So at least you've got something to read. What are you going to do on there? Or if you could maybe have, although a PlayStation, but you need a TV with that. So that's one bit of tech you can take.
I'll take a Sony Walkman. Then you know the new ones. They're like iPods, modern day iPods.
Oh. Okay.
If I can't take it, if I have to take something you can buy physically in the shops today.
But it's only one bit of tech. You can't have the headphones as well.
Oh, see, this is.
Does that come with it?
But
the headphones you'd have
I reckon there'd be a set in the box.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to have something to listen to the tech that you got. But to me, if I had to choose one, it'd be the Kindle, just so I can keep myself entertained with.
All right.
Put
your thinking caps on, folks. Yeah. Hashtag Ziggy Zaggy. Hit us up on Twitter.
Non tech stuff?
Yeah.
I'd take a book of Sudoku puzzles.
Far out.
I'd take a bike.
Yep.
So you can ride around.
See, a pathway's on the
stay fit.
Along.
I don't know. Stay fit.
Stay fit. Pretty sure walking around and take catching
maybe,
your own food.
I'd take like a TRX, you know, like a body weight. You can do weights with your body weight. Take a TRX with me. Yeah, you know, the strap.
Whatever.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know that. I'm now in a big problem because I rely so much on
this question,
the connectivity of the open world.
It goes to show you a couple of things. A, our reliance on the connection.
Yes.
And B, it's the not just the gadget or the product that you like, it's the content and what it can do for you.
Yes.
So it's not just like you think of what sort of bits of tech that just stand on their own for you to use, rather than being connected and playing you something. Yeah. Just a food for thought, mate.
I'm not sure that's been a positive outcome for me. I think I'm way too reliant on my phone.
I'd get all my books read.
I wouldn't want to start reading books just because I'm on a desert island. I'm a very simple man, aren't I? It's just very just.
Well, I think you should start reading books then. We can start another podcast too, the best books you've never read. Which would be all of them.
Stephen and Trevor's Book Club.
Not as easy
to find a sponsor for that. Said, although.
The best books you've never read would be all of them.
Yeah. Or Audible. Yeah. I mean, sponsor-wise.
Yeah. Cool. Let's do
it. Amazon Kindle.
Oh, mate, straight away. There he is. I know someone at Amazon too, at Audible.
The best books you've never read. Imagine. Yeah, anyway, I don't want to think about doing
it'd be
another.
A book club.
I don't.
Like a book club.
I don't want to do another.
Just like our best,
it'd have to be monthly.
Best movies you've never seen is not only for the movies you've never seen, but the way we deconstruct it, you've never seen them that way. Like I like to think that even if you've seen Top Gun 50 times, you listen to our podcast, you're going to watch it differently after we've spoken about it.
Could it be a monthly show?
Which one?
The books. The
book club?
I couldn't do a book a week.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, if you can sell it. I can read it.
There's plenty, mate, we can do there. Plenty we can do.
And see, if it's Amazon Kindle that sponsor it, we have to read them. If it's Audible, we have to listen to them.
Yeah, well, I've got contacts at Audible.
Matthew.
Yeah. Our teams play each other this week, too.
They'd probably want to make it an Audible exclusive podcast,
Matthew,
though.
Yeah, he's Newcastle. He's a Knight supporter, and they're playing South this week.
Right, okay.
We often message each other ahead of that game.
Okay.
I'm expecting one from him this week.
All right, Two Blokes Talking Tech. We'll be back next week. Later this week, you'll hear the
movie Matrix. Podcast, The Matrix. This week.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm a little out of whack.
Yeah, I think we all are. Especially after that massive meal we had.
Still feel it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
See you, everyone. See you, Steve.
Ciao.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.